Our reading is from Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 17. And this reading can be found on page 1052 in the Pew Bibles or page 1857 in the large print version. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified by God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. People were also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Almighty God, we pray this morning that you show us ourselves as we really are and show us our Saviour through Christ our Lord. Amen. It may help you to look at the Bible reading as we look at this short parable. I still find C.S. Lewis, however often I read his whole variety of writings, I find him very perceptive, whether it's the Narnia stories or much more serious theology and philosophy or comments on English literature. Let me give you two quotations from C.S. Lewis. Here's the first. Those who do not think about their own sin make up for it by thinking incessantly about the sins of others. Well, speaking about pride, he says, the sin we hate in other people, but never note in ourselves. That's very true, isn't it? If we're really honest before those words of C.S. Lewis, but much more important to be honest before the word of God, these words of Jesus. Luke 18:14, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. We need to recover the shock factor of the parables. How do you see yourself? How do I see myself? We're told, verse 9, the parable was told to some who were confident of their own righteousness and look down on everybody else. To them, Jesus told this parable. Two men, verse 10, we're told, went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. A Pharisee wasn't a kind of vicar. A Pharisee was the sort of person you are in a pew, a lay person who was very strict about their belief. Universally popular, very strict and scrupulous in their adherence to the law, and very often much looked up to. Then the tax collector, despised politically and morally, traitors to Rome, and yes, they made their living by extortion. They were so untrusted, they were barred from giving public testimony in court, and banned from public office. Similarities, they're both men, both went to temple to pray, both stood, that's a typical Jewish way to pray, standing, and they both started their prayer with the word God. But the similarities end there. There are some big differences. First difference, different opinions of themselves. The Pharisee puts it like this. God, I thank you. I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. Imagine the temple at Jerusalem, a massive complex of buildings and courtyards. At 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there was corporate prayer when the morning sacrifices and evening sacrifices were offered. And yet also other times as the pilgrims and worshippers came in. And the Pharisee stood apart by himself in an inner courtyard. He literally prayed, we're told, to himself. Not praying to God who made him. And that little word, that pronoun I, comes up again and again. His prayer is full of odious comparisons. And his was a negative, legalistic, and comparative obedience. The Pharisee is conscious of his own goodness. He only had to fast once a year on the Day of Atonement, but he did much more than that. He only had to give tithes of certain things, not everything, but he tithed everything. And he thought he was doing really well. The tax collector, very different. Verse 13, God, have mercy on me. Mercy, he's saying to the Lord, don't be angry with me. Be propitious to me. Forgive me. He was conscious simply of his own sinfulness and that God's judgment rested on him. Such different opinions of themselves, the Pharisee and the tax collector. Second difference, different postures in prayer. Verse 11, the Pharisee prayed. He was self-satisfied and proud. And the sense of verse 11 is the Pharisee stood apart by himself and prayed away from other people. The tax collector, verse 13, we're told, stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He was, no doubt, in an outer courtyard, a long way away from the Holy of Holies. And what did he do with his feet, where he looked with his eyes, and the beating of his breast showed a very different attitude to the Pharisee. Third difference, ultimately there's a different standing before God. Verse 14. I tell you that this man, that's the tax collector, rather than the Pharisee, went home justified before God, that everyone who exalts himself be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Friends, we're left with a very pressing question. What had the Pharisee not done, which the tax collector had done? What had the Pharisee not seen, which the tax collector had seen? And what we must see about ourselves, what is it we must see about ourselves if we're to be right with God? Friends, don't kid yourself that you live well. We've all ignored God in different ways. We've fallen short of his standards. We've stepped over his boundaries. And yes, we're all in need of God's mercy. And baptism is a symbol of God's mercy. As it were, when a child goes beneath the water, then comes out of the water. It's a sign that we're identifying those little lives with the death and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus came to save us. God accepts us sinners, not because of any work or supposed merit of our own, but it's all due to his own mercy. Let me tell you about John Berridge. I've got something here from a book I have in my study about his life. John Berridge, somebody who died in 1793. He was a Church of England vicar. He was a vicar of Everton, not in Liverpool, but Bedfordshire. And he had a journey in coming to know Christ properly for himself. And he wrote his own epitaph for his tombstone, apart from the last line, which gave the date of his death. Obviously, he didn't know that. And this is what it says. "Here lie the earthly remains of John Berridge, late vicar of Everton, an itinerant servant of Jesus Christ, who loved his master and his work, and after running on his errands many years, was called to wait on him above." And then there's a question. "Reader, art thou born again? No salvation without new birth. I was born in sin, February 1716, remained ignorant of my fallen state till 1730, lived proudly on faith and works of salvation till 1754, was admitted to Everton Vicarage, 1755, fled to Jesus alone for refuge, 1756, fell asleep in Christ Jesus, January 22nd, 1793. A quaint, eccentric epitaph on his tombstone in some ways. But actually, here's a man who tried to live righteously. He was ordained in the Church of England, serving as a vicar, but didn't cry out to God for mercy till he's well on in his job as a vicar. Interesting, you're very lucky that he's not your vicar, because you read about his life. If there wasn't enough people in church, he would get his stick and he'd go around to local pubs and beat people out of the pubs and remind them to come into church. I've not yet started doing that, but perhaps one day I'll need to. Yes, he was eccentric, but buried to grasp the right thing. We all need the mercy of God. And the question for you is, have you received it? We pray these children will receive that mercy for themselves personally when they put their trust in Christ, when they're able to do so. We'll need to make sure we grasp the reality of what it is to cry out to God, not like the Pharisee, but like the tax collector, "God, have mercy upon me." I was speaking to somebody at 8 o'clock service this morning who was here, and he knows Cambridge well because he studied modern languages there. But I mentioned to the 8 o'clock congregation about a glorious painting by Rubens in King's College, Cambridge. And somebody went into the chapel one day, about 35 years ago, I think now, by memory, and they got a sharp pen and they cut into the Rubens painting, IRA, Irish Republican Army. And the next day, the painting remained up there for some time, but a little sign appeared before it. And it said this: "It's believed this masterpiece can be restored." Friends, with little lives, all our lives, are masterpieces, which we've wrecked by our sin and rebellion and pride. But wonderfully, in Christ Jesus, it is possible for the masterpiece of our life, which is so damaged by sin, be made new and restored. May we be more and more aware of that. And won't you consider the love of God? Christ came, he died for you, rose again to show us and bring us his mercy. Amen.